Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers and Men video broadcast. And it is good to be here today. And tonight we're going to be continuing on talking about the lusts of the flesh. And right now we're in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going through verses 17 through 21. And there are 17 different works of the flesh that are mentioned. And what I'm doing is taking some time and doing a few videos where I'm just going to be kind of going through each of those. And for each video, I'm doing three apiece. We're going to be doing this video, and then there's another video we're going to be doing with three of them, and then there might be another video with just two of them. So just hang in there. And after we're done with this part, then we're going to go on to the lust of the eyes. And then as soon as we're done with that, we'll go to the lust of the flesh. And so, you just stick with me, just pray for me, and we'll get through this series. And tonight, we're going to be talking about wrath, strife, and seditions. And we're just going to be taking a look at what the Word of God says with each of those. And we're just going to just kind of dive into the Word of God tonight. Amen. So let's see here. I think that's going to be, so yeah, we'll dive into that. But before we do, if you guys have any prayer requests, I know I have a couple of prayer requests. I don't want to say I have an unspoken, but we'll keep it basic for now. If you could pray for me, my ministry, there's some things I'd like to do with these videos. So pray for me in the direction, and just pray for me on direction for that. And I would like to maybe get these messages on DVD and make copies of these DVDs and then hand them out that way. But I don't have the technology to do so. So pray, if you can pray for me on that, that'd be great. I'd like to maybe do something where I can put these messages on DVD if I can. My dad had said that people are using more streaming and downloading and stuff like that. So, you know, people are not doing DVDs much anymore, but I kind of disagree. You know, people are still doing DVDs. It's just more people are more, you know, nowadays it's, you know, a lot more people prefer streaming and stuff. So if you could pray for me on that, pray for me on the message tonight. Pray that God will just take with it and do with it as he wills, and pray that God will be glorified. Just pray that that there might be a life or someone that might get touched and there might be a life changed as a result of this, video tonight, as well as, you know, even some of the videos that I have done, in the past as well. So pray for me. Pray for me in that regard. Kind of keep me in prayer in general. And I have some desires that I would like to do, but you know, we'll see whatever the Lord leads with that. Amen. If you have any prayer requests, you can feel free to share them if you like. If you have an unspoken, you know, you can share that if you like. Doesn't really matter. It's up to you. But if you do have a prayer request, you know, feel free to put it in the comment section on the video there, and we'll go from there. Let's see. Any announcements? Let's see if there's any announcements. I don't think there's a whole lot of announcements, other than the fact that If you missed last week, every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I will be doing a video. That's not including during the week, but for sure every Sunday at 8, I will do a video, unless if if I get called, if you know, unless if something happens, if I'm sick or ill on vacation or whatever the case might be, then I won't do one. But typically on Sundays at 8 o'clock, I will be doing these videos and streaming them live on Facebook, and then putting it on Sermon Audio as well as YouTube. And so I'll be doing that every Sunday. And next Sunday is the week of Halloween. So next Sunday we might take a break from what we're going through tonight, and we'll get into we'll talk about Halloween and should Christians celebrate it. And we're gonna just kind of go through scripture on that. So pray for me as I prepare for that message for next week, as I, you know, prepare throughout the week. So if you can keep me in prayer on that, that would be good. And then that following week we'll resume with this topic. And as like Thanksgiving and Christmas start to come near, I'll start kind of focusing my messages primarily on those. And we'll go from there. Amen. So other than that, I don't have anything else. We will go ahead and get right into the topic. This is part four in a series called The Three Categories of Sin. And we're talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And right now, we are talking about the lust of the flesh. And as I said at the top of the broadcast, is that we're in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going through the 17 different works of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, and it's specifically in verses 17 through 21. And so tonight, we're going to be touching on wrath, strife, and seditions. And so with that said, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and we will start in verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Okay, so we're going to be talking about, the first thing we're going to be talking about is wrath. Now, if you type in wrath in the Pew Bible search software, it is mentioned 198 times in your King James Bibles. Now, if you add an asterisk at the end, you'll find that the word wrath is in there 201 times in your King James Bibles. Now, I think if I have this correct, when you have the asterisk, it gives you all the forms of that word in the whole Bible. So, the complete amount that you get with the asterisk is 201 times in your King James Bible. Now, when we take a look at wrath, it is sin to have wrath because it doesn't produce righteousness. It doesn't. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Okay? So, what does it mean to have wrath. Well, wrath is a very strong, vengeful anger or indignation. Okay? Now, you can have righteous indignation. You can have righteous wrath, which is what God has, because God is without sin. He can have wrath and not sin. Okay? It's righteous indignation. So there is such a thing as righteous wrath. But us being human and having a sinful flesh, can we do that? Can we have a righteous wrath? Well, let's put it this way. The Bible says to be angry and sin not, which is to have a righteous indignation, to have a passion, and to not be happy with sin in such a way that you're not sinning yourself. In other words, to be angry and sin not is to have righteous indignation to where you hate sin, but you don't sin in the process of having that anger towards sin. Okay? So, when we take a look at, we know that wrath is a strong, vengeful anger. Okay? Now, when it comes to vengeance or to get revenge on someone, God has something to say in this area. Okay? And Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. In Psalm chapter 90, in Psalm 94, verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shew thyself. So we know that we should not, if vengeance belongs to God, we should in no wise try to get revenge or take vengeance in our own hands. Okay? We're to not take revenge. We're not to go after other people if they wronged us. We're supposed to repay evil with good. Okay? Don't fight fire with fire. Repay evil with good. Because when you do, you'll heap hot coals upon that person's head when you do something nice for them. For them. And when they realize that they've done wrong. Now, so with that said, we are not to have wrath towards anybody. Okay? We are not to have wrath. God is the only one who can have wrath and not sin. So, with that said, when someone wrongs us, we should repay that with good and not take vengeance on ourselves or have wrath towards them. But we should give place to wrath that God will pour out to those who don't believe. Amen. Now, vengeance and anger and wrath only belong to God, because if we try to get revenge and if we get angry, we will sin because we have a sin nature. But God is perfect. He is holy and is the only one that can execute wrath and vengeance without sin. God is the only one who's able to do that. We cannot, because we're sinful. God is the only one who can exercise vengeance and wrath without sin. Now, as we see in James, we need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Why is this? Because when a man gets angry and he is quick to speak, he will say and do things that he will regret. And therefore, when you get angry, it is better to keep quiet than to say something or do something that you'll regret. Okay, now let me tell you something. When someone has wronged you and when you just feel like you just want to lash out and say every curse word in the book and get angry and get wrathful and do all that stuff, you're better off keeping your mouth shut and just go before the Lord and pray. If someone makes you mad, you're better off to keep quiet, because if you don't, you may say something that you're going to later regret. It is better to shut our mouths when we're angry than to open them. Okay? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. It says, "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." In Job chapter 13, verse 5, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "And the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." See right there, he that refraineth his lips is wise. What that means is, when you get angry, when you feel like you want to take it out on somebody, when you hold back and you don't say nothing but you keep quiet and you don't do anything, the Bible says you're wise. You're wise because if you just spat off every word that's on your mind when you're angry, you're going to regret something, you're going to even hurt somebody, and you're going to make the situation worse. That's why when you're angry, it is best to keep to yourself, go before God and pray, and don't say or do something you're going to later regret. Because when you say and do things that you regret, the situation gets worse. And then that person who made you mad isn't at fault, but you're also at fault for opening your mouth and saying things that you shouldn't have said. So now you're both at fault. So now you have to apologize to each other. It is better if you kept quiet. A lot of times it's better to keep quiet and not say or do anything when you're angry. Now, does that mean that you should just be a doormat for everybody to step on? I'm not saying that. Okay? There are certain times that, yes, you have to stick up for yourself. There are times that you have to say, enough's enough. I'm not dealing with this anymore. But you're better off doing that. You're better off to do that when you're not angry versus if you are angry. Because when you are angry and you do things that you shouldn't have done or said, then everybody feels bad. And you don't want to put yourself in that position. Nobody wants to put themselves in that position. So next time when you're angry, just be mindful of what, just be mindful to not say or do anything that you're going to regret. Amen? Refrain your lips. Don't speak. So, with that said, let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here and see what God says about wrath. Okay? In Proverbs 27, verse 4, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" And Psalm 37, 8, "Cease from your anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from your anger, get away from wrath, and don't do anything evil. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. And Proverbs 14, 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So, next time you want to get angry or get wrathful, be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Don't be so quick and hasty to have wrath towards a person. Don't be so quick and hasty to start casting stones at people. By the way, Jesus said, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. Okay? Don't have wrath. Oh, I just thought of something. Think of it this way. Wrath is a stone. He that is without sin may cast the first stone. By the way, you are not without sin. So you have no business going around and being wrathful towards others. Let God take care of that. You know why? Because God will take care of his kids. God will take care of his kids. And he will avenge his kids. Okay? Don't take revenge on yourself. Don't go all wrath on people. Let God deal with that, because God can appropriately do that. You cannot. I cannot. No one cannot. Anyone who thinks they can have wrath towards a person and still not sin, you're seriously mistaken. Okay? Only God can do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Now, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 through 2, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge all right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, a soft answer turneth away wrath, okay? Now, let me tell you something. I got a testimony I want to share with you on this. I have a brother, there was a time when he got really angry with me. Okay, I was trying to encourage him to get out and work and get a job, and he didn't like that very well. He wanted to stay home and play his video games, and he got really mad at me because he thought I was, you know, he just didn't like what I said. Okay, now I'll tell you something. When I spoke to him cool, calm, and collected. Now, even though he still had anger, and he kept on getting back at me, and I tried to defuse the situation as cool and calm as I could. And I'll tell you something. I remained cool and calm during that period of time, and you know what happened? What happened was my brother eventually broke out in tears. And when he did, I went up to him, gave him a big old hug, told him I love him. You know? Now, why do I say that? I say that because a soft answer turneth away wrath. Sometimes when someone gets mad at you, sometimes the best thing to do is just be cool, calm, collected, and just talk to them in a calm voice. And just continue doing so. Amen? Now, there are people you just can't reason with. I've come to know that on Facebook, okay? They're just people that you just absolutely cannot reason with. You know why? Because they're so hard-hearted and stiff-necked. They don't want to hear truth. All they want to do is bash you and call you every name in the book, and who cares? And they just want to just blast you and crucify you and bite your head off. Okay? The people that you can't reason with, you're just better off you're better off not getting into an argument with them. You're just better off ignoring them and just letting them be as heated as they can. And let God deal with it. Amen. Don't try to fix that on your own. Because I'm going to tell you something. People that you cannot reason with, you just can't reason with, period. So don't even try to reason with them. There are people that you can't reason with. And they're so full of hot air and anger and wrath that they, you know, they don't care who they hurt. Okay? You're better off to just not reason with those kind of people. The people that won't reason with you, just don't even try. Because it won't work. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I'm going to tell you something. If you're mad with somebody, it would behoove you just to get it right with them right there and then before the sun goes down. Because if you hold on to that anger and wrath to the next day, that's going to translate into bitterness. You don't want that. You're better off resolving a situation. If someone made you mad, you might as well just get it done and over with and settle it and get it taken care of before the day's up. Because you don't want to be harboring bitterness. You just don't. Bitterness, long enough, will eat you alive. Bitterness will eat you alive. And bitterness can translate into having cancer. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that has cancer has bitterness. Don't take that by any means. But what I'm saying is, there are some cases that people get cancer, but they're holding on to bitterness. You're better off to letting that bitterness go. If someone made you upset or angry, you're better off just resolving that before the day ends. Because you don't want to be harboring bitterness. No one likes to have hurt feelings. Let's be sure that if someone made us mad, let's go and settle that and get that right before the day ends. Amen. Then everybody, you know, they may not be happy and they may just hate your guts, but you know, at least your conscience will be clear and you'll feel better. Amen. Now, and by the way, when you don't get that settled, when you don't get the anger settled and you just let that permeate and you start harboring bitterness, you're giving place to the devil. Don't give that old devil place in your life. Jesus Christ should be the first place in your life and the only place in your life. Don't let that old devil try to steal your joy. Don't let that old devil try to rob you of your joy. Don't give him any place in your life. Amen. You tell that old devil to get out and chew, and you quote scripture. If you want to get rid of the devil, all you got to do is turn the light on. And how do you do that? Read the Word of God and start quoting scripture. Remember, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus, every time Satan tried to throw scripture, a twisted version of scripture out, you know how Jesus combated it? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. You use the Word of God to brush the enemy away. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? Don't give place to the devil, but resist him and he'll flee from you. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Amen. Put that, if you're harboring bitterness or anger or resentment, go before God and repent of your sin, get it taken care of, and if you made someone mad, go before him and repent. Amen. Go before that person that you've wronged and apologize. Make it right with them. Don't let that stuff fester. Because if the anger and the bitterness starts to fester, it's going to lead into, you know, unforgiveness. It's going to lead into a whole bunch of things you don't need. If you know you've wronged somebody, get it right. Or if someone wronged you, confront them about it and see if they will apologize. If not, you know, that's on them. Amen. Now, that's it with the wrath. Now we're going to talk about strife. Strife is mentioned 39 times in your King James Bibles. And if you put an asterisk at, and if you go to the Pure Bible Search software that Pastor Mike Hoggard, Pastor Bethel Church has put out, if you put an asterisk at the end, strife is mentioned 43 times. Now with that, strife, that's going to be every occurrence of strife in every single like aspect of it is 43 times in your King James Bible. Now, what is strife? Well, strife is being angry or bittered over fundamental issues or conflict. Now remember what I said about wrath, okay? If you hang on to anger, if you hang on to wrath, and you don't get it taken care of, it will permeate into bitterness. Okay? Now, strife is being angry or bittered, okay, over fundamental issues or conflict. Now you might, an example of this would be like, you have like a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's pretending to be a Christian. He goes into your church and he starts causing strife, you know, cause he doesn't like what certain doctrines that the pastor is preaching. So he's like, well, no, that's not true. This is what it is. And he starts saying a whole bunch of lies and getting angry. And he starts being a talebearer and starts spreading lies and rumors. And then you start having all this strife and then you got divisions. Okay. And strife is a work of the flesh. Strife comes from the devil. Okay? Now, another way to put it is, let's see here. Another way to put strife is rebellion. Actually, hang on a second. I could be wrong on that. No, we're just gonna keep, basically, strife is being angered and bittered over fundamental issues. Now, the first occurrence of strife is found in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7. And this is what it says. It says, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Okay? And Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So when you have hatred, that stirs up strife. Because you're bittered, you're angered. You have indignation which is not righteous. You're just an angry person. That stirs up strife. But you want to know something? Love covereth all sins. Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. While ye were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And you know what the ultimate love is? You know how much Christ, you know how much Jesus Christ loves you? He loves you so much that he went through torture, he went through pain, he went through suffering, and he was willing to be nailed on a cross He shed his blood so that you may be forgiven and cleansed of your sins. And do you want to know something? Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus paid that price in full, and his blood, check this out, covers all your sins. Love covereth all sins. That's a good promise to stand on when you have condemnation. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" In Proverbs 29:22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3, "Why dost thou shew me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violences are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contentions." You see, strife and contentions are very similar. When you have strife, there's contention. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 21, "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Now, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Think Bible, everybody. I want everyone to think Bible. I want you to think about Satan for a second. How do you think Satan correlates to that scripture I just read? It said, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Satan is very proud. He's a very proud being. Satan is not a fallen angel. He is a fallen cherub. That's what he is. He's a fallen cherub. Okay. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You want to know something? When you read that passage, there's five things mentioned. I. Satan is very proud. Satan wants to be like God. And wants to be worshipped as God. I will be like the Most High. Satan is the king of strife. He's the king of strife. And because of his pride and his beauty, he's going to cause strife, he's going to cause contention, and he's going to cause division. More so in the churches than anywhere else. And by the way, we're seeing that right now. Okay? We're seeing strife. We're seeing it in politics. We're seeing it even in Christianity. Christians are saying this. Others are saying that. There's like this divide that's going on. That's trying to go on. But can I tell you something? If you're born again and believe and have a King James Bible, Don't let the devil and don't let these outside things distract you from what's really important. Don't let these outside things divide us. Because Satan is trying to divide and conquer. Amen? Now, in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So as we see here, that the devil is here to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is proud at heart. And by the way, Satan is the one weakening. He's the one that weakens nations. He created strife by causing contention. Think about what's going on in our nation, like I said. Think about what's going on. Think about Trump for a second. Let's talk about Donald Trump for a second. President Trump. There's so much division right now. There's so much divisiveness going on with Republicans and with Democrats. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that I'm not saying that Republicans are good and Democrats are bad, because I'm going to tell you something. There's wickedness on both sides of the aisle. But never in my life have I ever seen this much contention and strife against a United States president. President Trump is the only president that I know of that has taken a beating because of who he is. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of what he said and did. Or has done or said. Now, I will say this. Trump has done some good things. But I haven't seen this much contention against a president ever. There's so much division. And Satan is weakening our nation. And he's trying to get this nation to fall by getting at our throats. Satan wants us to come after our own people. He wants us to come and pit against each other, to get at each other's throats. And Satan is weakening the nation by doing so. There's a lot of strife and contention right now in D.C. There's a lot of strife and contention right now going in politics. There's a lot of that, and the devil's behind it. Anytime you see strife or contention, you know very well that the devil's behind it. Amen? Now, Mark chapter 3, verse 24 through 25. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house can't stand. Jesus didn't say it shouldn't stand. Jesus said it can't stand. When a nation or a house or a church or a family comes against each other, it can't stand. And it won't stand. Don't be surprised if this nation collapses and we can't stand any longer. And you'll find out that the day that when this nation collapses and we can't stand, just know the devil has been at work in our nation, and sadly is succeeding, and God's allowing it as judgment, because we have drifted far from this word. And God is allowing Satan to do what he's doing in America. It's a judgment, folks. We ought not to be ignorant of that. in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. We have such strife in this nation, we are seeing a division happening. Satan is using strife and division to weaken our nation so that our nation will fall. And by the way, it's not just our nation. There's other nations that Satan's getting really, is probably working to divide as well. But he's really going overtime on America. He's really going overtime on America. He's really going overtime on the church. The good church, anyways. Not the heretical church. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 19. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Proverbs 26, 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. I think we've already had that one. I had that one kind of as a repeat, and I apologize for that. But it's also kind of good to be reminded of that. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whispers, swallowings, and tumults. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Last verse, and we'll go last verses, and we'll go to sedition. In James chapter 3, verse 13 through 16, who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation with his works, with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and evil work. And every evil work. Let me tell you something. You know what brings confusion? Sin. Think about the LGBTQ community. How you have all these transvestites. Men thinking that they're women. And women thinking that they're men. You take a look at them and you'll be like, what is that? Is that a man or is that a woman? It's confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. And if something is confusing, know that it's not of God. Amen. Now, let's go to our last section. Seditions. Sedition is mentioned 5 times in your King James Bible, but when you put the asterisk at the end in its entirety, there's actually 6 times that sedition or seditions is mentioned in your Bible, in your King James Bible. Think about that. 6, okay? Now, seditions is what we just read here, and one of the occurrences is found in Galatians 5, and it's in verse 20 of Galatians 5. That's one of the occurrences, okay? Seditions. But now there is 5 other occurrences of where this thing's at. Now, sedition means to incite resistance or insurrection against lawful authority. In other words, seditions is rebellion. That's what that is. That's what I was thinking of earlier. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, let me just go on record as saying this. Not all rebellion is sedition. Actually, hang on a second. Let's put it this way. Not all rebellion is bad. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. So when you rebel against tyrants, because you're doing what God tells you to, that's okay. It's when you are rebelling against God and against his ordained authority on earth, that can be as seditions. Okay? Now, when someone does the seditious acts, they are being rebellious, and to be rebellious is to do the things your way and no one else's way. That is why it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know why? Because witchcraft says, I will do it my way. I'm going to do it. When you rebel, you're basically saying the same thing. I'm going to do it my way and not your way. That's why God says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen. Now, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 11, an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Now, think about this. Think about this for a second. Seditions, with an asterisk at the end of it, is mentioned 6 times. Think about the Antichrist. Okay? The Antichrist is the number of a man, and he's also a number of the beast. Okay? His number is 666. It's 3 sixes. 3 sixes. He's against Christ and against his laws. The Antichrist is going to be the greater. He's going to be the greatest seditionist ever. The Antichrist is in rebellion against God and against his commandments. Okay? Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Revelation 13, and verses 6-8, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The coming Antichrist will be the ultimate sedition. However, we are seeing people right now being indoctrinated to receiving his mark in his right hand or in his forehead. We're not seeing the mark out now, but we're seeing an indoctrination with COVID, with the whole mask mandate. You can't wear a mask unless you do this. You know, the Bible says you can't buy or sell save you have the mark. So you see there is an indoctrination going on with that. People are getting indoctrinated into accepting a mark in their right hand or forehead. the Antichrist is going to be the master seditionist. The Antichrist is in rebellion against God and against God's people. And I'm going to tell you something. The people who take that mark into their right hand or forehead, and when they seal their fate eternally into the lake of fire, all those who took that mark have basically came out and rebelled against God. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, people. And there's going to be a massive rebellion going on at some point in the future. Seditions. Rebellion. Now, let's take a look at a couple verses of God's word to what he says about sedition. First occurrence is found in Ezra. Ezra chapter 4 verse 15. That search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so shall thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. In Ezra chapter 4 verse 19, And I commanded and searched hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. In Luke chapter 23 verse 25, and he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Acts chapter 24 verse 5. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. You know, in Acts, they were talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. And the reason why they accused Apostle Paul of being a seditionist was because Paul was preaching the cross. He was preaching being saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, and that they couldn't keep the law. And they accused Paul of being a seditionist and a ringleader to the sect of the Nazarenes. That's what they accused Paul of. And that's not true. Well, him being a seditionist was not true. They only called him that because he was preaching the gospel. But that's all Paul ever preached was the gospel. He said, I don't want to know anything except Christ and him crucified. Paul preached the gospel to all those who he came in contact with. Amen. Now, the last occurrence of sedition is found in Galatians 5, verses 17 through 20. I said 21. Before I said 17 to 21, but I made a mistake. It was actually in verse 20 that it's found in. But then it's in that group of sections. Now, with that said, I like to go up and I like to go back to Barabbas. Okay? Now remember, seditions is mentioned 6 times in your King James Bible, and we sort of looked at how the Antichrist is going to be the one who is going to be the ultimate seditionist. Okay? Now, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23, this will be the last verse and we'll close. Luke 23. Luke 23. I got to get there first. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 17 through 25. It says, "For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." Okay, so this is Pilate. Okay, this was during the trial of Jesus. And Pilate said, Pilate was going to release a prisoner. And it was their custom to choose one or the other. Okay, this is what that context is. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murderer, was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as he required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Okay, now why do I say that? Because is mentioned six times. Okay, that number can be associated with the Antichrist. Okay, the Antichrist number is what? 666. Okay, the Antichrist is going to be the ultimate rebellious seditionist. He's going to be the one to rebel against God. He's the ultimate one to lead a rebellion. That's what the Antichrist is. Now you might say, "Well, Brandon, well, what are you talking about? How does this correlate with Barabbas?" Think about it. Barabbas was a murderer. What does it say about Satan? What does God say about Satan? That he was a murderer from the beginning. Barabbas represents the Antichrist. And we see from this is a picture of people choosing the Antichrist over Christ. Amen. We see that the people wanted a murderer released, but they put an innocent man to death. Now remember, our sin is what put Christ on the cross. Doesn't matter who you are or what you committed, your sin put Christ at the cross. And by the way, if you are not saved, you are a murderer. Why? Because your sin put Christ on that cross. My sin put Christ on that cross. Your sin put Christ on that cross. We'll close. If there's anything that I can share with you today, it's this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can know for sure today that if you die, you'd go to heaven, and you can get that settled right here and right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all you have to do is cry out to God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And ask Him to save you. And if you cry out to Him, and you ask Him to save you, and you put your faith and trust in what He did at the cross for your sin, and you put your faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, and you believe that Christ is who he says he is, you'll be saved. Amen. You'll be saved. All you have to do is cry out to him. Cry out to him. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Amen. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Believers, if I can encourage you, if you're struggling with something today, or if you've been struggling with something, just know that God loves you. He cares for you. But you do got to make that right with him. You do need to repent. And God will chasten you for that. He will chasten you for your sins. But if you're struggling with something today, just know that Christ is with you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to deliver you. Amen. Now, when Christ saved us from our sins, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be sinless after you become born again. What that means is Christ is going to save you from the condemnation. Christ saves you from those sins. You know what? We're going to keep it as simple as this. Christ saves his people from their sins. We're not going to make it any complicated than that. The Bible says what it says and it means what it means. Amen. Just know that Christ came to save his people from their sins. Amen. That's all I have for tonight. I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope you were blessed by it. But most importantly, I hope that this is something that you could take a hold of, think about it, meditate on it. Maybe the Lord's convicting you on something. Maybe he's dealing with you on something. Whatever the case might be. But whatever it is, I hope that there might be a changed life out there that might listen to this and say, wow, maybe I need to get it right, or maybe I need to know Christ. Amen. Listen, guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be mean or pick on anyone, but I have to preach the whole counsel of God. So you know what? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Amen. Now, next week, okay, we're still going to, I'm going to do a broadcast next week, but we're going to take a break from this series. And next week is the week of Halloween. So pray for me, but next week I'm going to be talking about why Christians should not be doing Halloween. And we're going to be talking about Halloween and talking about what it is and why Christians should not take part of it. As a matter of fact, if you want to go on past tracks on Halloween, by all means. But next week, we're going to be talking about Halloween, so pray for me. Devil's probably not going to like it very well. There's stuff that needs to be said, so you pray for me on that. Pray that And you pray for me that I will get things kind of put together for the week, for next week. And now I'll probably, we'll be doing videos throughout the week, might do some devotionals and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that. But listen, guys, I love you. And I hope this was a blessing to you. So pray for me for next week. The following week we'll pick up from where we left off on, we'll do part 5. And then hopefully in the month of November we'll finish this series up. Or probably not finish the series up, but hopefully in the month of November we'll finish up, the lust of the flesh. We'll move into the lust of the eyes, and then we'll get into the pride of life. Okay? So, but anyways, love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. You have a blessed evening. Love you, and we'll see you next time. God bless you guys. Love you. See ya. Bye.